1. You hear some information about a country on a travel program. Where do most people spend the summer months? A. At the seaside. B. In the capital city. C. In the mountains.
In the main summer months, the weather in the capital city is hot and the humidity is terrible. If you're there then, the best thing to do is either sit in a pool all day or surround yourself with air conditioning. You could, however, head higher where it's cooler. The Sitra Mountains behind the northeast coast have stunning scenery, but the majority never seem to make the effort to get out of the capital, which is a pity because the coast and the mountains are much pleasanter. In the main summer months, the weather in the capital city is hot and the humidity is terrible. If you're there then, the best thing to do is either sit in a pool all day or surround yourself with air conditioning. You could, however, head higher where it's cooler. The Sitra Mountains behind the northeast coast have stunning scenery, but the majority never seem to make the effort to get out of the capital, which is a pity because the coast and the mountains are much pleasanter.
2. You hear part of a radio program about chewing gum. What's the speaker doing? A. Outlining its history. B. Describing why it has changed. C. Explaining its popularity.
Although it's popular worldwide, chewing gum is a uniquely U.S. product, discovered during the search for rubber materials in the 1860s. The basic raw material for all chewing gum is the natural gum chicle, obtained from the sapodilla tree found in Central America. Recently, man-made substitutes have come into widespread use, and popular types of chewing gum now include a soft chunk bubble gum and a gum filled with flavored liquid. In the U.S. alone, sales of chewing gum total over $800 million a year, and worldwide some several billion. Although it's popular worldwide, chewing gum is a uniquely U.S. product, discovered during the search for rubber materials in the 1860s. The basic raw material for all chewing gum is the natural gum chicle, obtained from the sapodilla tree found in Central America. Recently, man-made substitutes have come into widespread use, and popular types of chewing gum now include a soft chunk bubble gum and a gum filled with flavored liquid. In the U.S. alone, sales of chewing gum total over $800 million a year, and worldwide some several billion.
3. You hear part of a radio program where listeners phone in with their opinions. What does the man want to do? A. Express his disappointment. B. Complain about his situation. C. Encourage other listeners.
Go ahead, David. What have you got to say?
Well, I'm 55. I was a bank manager until 10 years ago, and then I lost my job. I was angry, I can tell you. But you can't just sit about feeling sorry for yourself, like most of your callers. Can I just say to anyone listening, my story will give you heart. A bank manager has to be a good listener, right? So I thought, how can I use that skill? Maybe I could be a counsellor of some sort. You know, help people deal with their personal problems. I'm busier now than I've ever been.
Go ahead, David. What have you got to say?
Well, I'm 55. I was a bank manager until 10 years ago, and then I lost my job. I was angry, I can tell you. But you can't just sit about feeling sorry for yourself, like most of your callers. Can I just say to anyone listening, my story will give you heart. A bank manager has to be a good listener, right? So I thought, how can I use that skill? Maybe I could be a counsellor of some sort. You know, help people deal with their personal problems. I'm busier now than I've ever been.
4. You hear a woman speaking on the radio about buying a painting for the first time. What opinion is she expressing? A. A painting can be a worthwhile investment. B. Only buy a painting if you have room for it. C. Take your time when buying your first painting.
The first rule about buying a painting is to immediately put aside any notion that this will make you enough money to keep you in your old age. The overriding factor is that you must really like the work itself. Ask yourself, can you imagine it on the wall next to the TV? Are you happy to have this painting as a fixture in your life? With this in mind, you can now set about looking into the art market. You should do your homework. Fine-tune your taste. Visit a student exhibition. Flick through some contemporary art magazines. The first rule about buying a painting is to immediately put aside any notion that this will make you enough money to keep you in your old age. The overriding factor is that you must really like the work itself. Ask yourself, can you imagine it on the wall next to the TV? Are you happy to have this painting as a fixture in your life? With this in mind, you can now set about looking into the art market. You should do your homework. Fine-tune your taste. Visit a student exhibition. Flick through some contemporary art magazines.
5. You hear a man being interviewed on the radio. What does he say about his mother? A. She helped him become an artist. B. She persuaded him to do research. C. She wanted him to make money.
My mother could see I was artistic and she would never have stood in my way, but she was desperate to ensure that I would do well in life. Financially, I mean, as she had always struggled. So she helped me with my science homework. She really pushed me. If it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't be where I am today. I feel deep down I do have a more natural talent for art rather than science. I even won some awards for my pictures, and I still paint whenever I can. But I suppose when I was growing up, I didn't think I would ever earn enough as an artist, so I studied science at university, and then spent a few years in the States working as a researcher in the oil industry. My mother could see I was artistic and she would never have stood in my way, but she was desperate to ensure that I would do well in life. Financially, I mean, as she had always struggled. So she helped me with my science homework. She really pushed me. If it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't be where I am today. I feel deep down I do have a more natural talent for art rather than science. I even won some awards for my pictures, and I still paint whenever I can. But I suppose when I was growing up, I didn't think I would ever earn enough as an artist, so I studied science at university, and then spent a few years in the States working as a researcher in the oil industry.
6. You hear part of an interview with a woman who's talking about her day. What's her profession? A. A teacher. B. A doctor. C. A farmer.
My day starts at 6 o'clock. It's somewhat chaotic at home early in the morning as we're all rushing around. I try to help my husband feed the animals, and then there's the twins to get ready for school. And I get to the surgery at around 8 a.m. There's always a lot of paperwork to do. Then it's seeing patients all day. We've got a trainee watching us at the moment for 6 months, so I spend some time with her, making sure she's making sense of it all. I enjoy working with students. My day starts at 6 o'clock. It's somewhat chaotic at home early in the morning as we're all rushing around. I try to help my husband feed the animals, and then there's the twins to get ready for school. And I get to the surgery at around 8 a.m. There's always a lot of paperwork to do. Then it's seeing patients all day. We've got a trainee watching us at the moment for 6 months, so I spend some time with her, making sure she's making sense of it all. I enjoy working with students.
7. You hear a man talking on the radio about teaching beginners to surf in the sea. What does the man say about beginners? A. They are very sensitive to criticism. B. They need to be given appropriate goals. C. They often start off with the wrong attitude.
When you teach beginners, in a sense you have to tailor-make a course for each of them. Getting the objectives right for each day's course is fundamental. Age or sex makes little difference. It's attitude. Some are delighted if they manage to get their knees on a surfboard, or maybe standing up in the first session is enough. Most can learn to stand up in half a day because of the foamy boards we use. Others just keep going until they've succeeded. Some make daft mistakes like putting their arms through the legs of their wetsuits, but most beginners are quite sensible. When you teach beginners, in a sense you have to tailor-make a course for each of them. Getting the objectives right for each day's course is fundamental. Age or sex makes little difference. It's attitude. Some are delighted if they manage to get their knees on a surfboard, or maybe standing up in the first session is enough. Most can learn to stand up in half a day because of the foamy boards we use. Others just keep going until they've succeeded. Some make daft mistakes like putting their arms through the legs of their wetsuits, but most beginners are quite sensible.
8. You hear part of an interview with a crime novelist. What point is he making about his novels? A. They are based on real-life crimes. B. They include accurate descriptions of life in the past. C. They vary in length depending on the historical period.
Now, John, you write around 4 historical crime novels each year. How do you manage it?
Well, although the characters and stories themselves are made up, I want my books to be historically correct in the details of everyday life I describe. And the further back in history you go, the fewer actual details survive, so I'm careful to keep them to a similar length. And then I'm less tempted to invent things. And let's face it, if a detective takes more than 80,000 words to solve a crime, he begins to look a bit dim, doesn't he?
Now, John, you write around 4 historical crime novels each year. How do you manage it?
Well, although the characters and stories themselves are made up, I want my books to be historically correct in the details of everyday life I describe. And the further back in history you go, the fewer actual details survive, so I'm careful to keep them to a similar length. And then I'm less tempted to invent things. And let's face it, if a detective takes more than 80,000 words to solve a crime, he begins to look a bit dim, doesn't he?